There's a worldwide epidemic of obesity, type 2 diabetes, and other chronic diseases that can be helped, sometimes even reversed, by simple diet and lifestyle changes rather than using medications. Hello, I'm Dr. John Beeney, and in these podcasts, you will hear information to help you make informed choices so you can live younger, longer. You know, in my talks, I constantly hear people asking, my doctor tells me to eat one thing and you tell me to eat another. Every day, they say, there's conflicting evidence on TV. I'm confused. People say to me, you sound convincing, but how do I know you're right? The truth is, of course, that there's never been so much conflicting information and so much choice of what to eat. We used to just hunt and gather, and what we ate was pretty predictable for one generation to another. Settling down as farmers and living in cities, which of course happened thousands of years ago, didn't help much, but we managed and things stayed pretty stable. 200 years ago, the Industrial Revolution brought, first of all, slave trade and capitalism. And with slave trade and capitalism came sugar and tobacco. 100 years ago, add in highly refined wheat, also part of the Industrial Revolution. And then in the 1950s and 60s, we saw a sudden upsurge in heart attacks. I remember because I was a young doctor then, I just qualified, and the wards were full of men with heart attacks. And at that time, a powerful and charismatic scientist in America, Ansel Keys was his name, decided that animal fat and cholesterol were the cause of the trouble. And he produced what was known as the diet heart hypothesis. And it was just that, a hypothesis, basically a educated guess that needed to be tested by proper studies. But there was no evidence, and there never has been any. What is even worse, contrary evidence was suppressed. And that was the beginning of the rot, as far as nutritional science is concerned. Soon after, the introduction of canola oil and soybean oil, and a huge increase in wheat production added further problems. And Big Pharma, the pharmaceutical industry, very quickly introduced drugs to control cholesterol. And a friend of Ansel Keys, his name was Professor Walter Willett, a young man starting a career in epidemiology, who went on to become the preeminent epidemiologist at Harvard, pioneered the use of studies of what people eat using memory-based dietary questionnaires. And I'm particularly mentioning Walter Willett because just a few weeks ago, in July 2018, one of his most recent published paper was a very good example of the problems that beset us now in epidemiology. Even Walter Willett agrees that they are far from ideal. Others say his studies are fatally flawed. The results are inadmissible as proper evidence. There are real concerns that they are susceptible to bias, both the subjects of the study and the researchers. Some argue that Walter Willett is biased because he created the Mediterranean diet, championed olive oil and plant-based diets. These studies by Willett and many others have produced an avalanche of highly questionable science. And these form the basis of much of what your daily confusion is on television. Another source of bad science is the pharmaceutical industry, an agribusiness. There's one company that combines both pharmaceutical and agribusiness, and it's Bayer, a big German company. And they've just bought a big American company, Monsanto, for $60 billion in, I think it was June 2018. That gives you some idea of their power and influence. They exert this influence at all levels, government levels, they control food manufacture, they have huge influence on organisations like the American Heart Association, which in turn leads our own Australian Heart Foundation. It has a huge influence on university departments, scientific research institutions. They provide funds for most of the research, either directly or indirectly, and they go along promoting and financing things like the anti-meat lobby, including the rise of veganism and scare tactics regarding meat and bowel cancer. Your GP is not immune from this. And I know because I was a GP for 40 years. Big Pharma, the pharmaceutical industry, finance your GP's a good deal of his postgraduate education. The average GP knows little or nothing about nutrition. They don't have time to find out, and they wouldn't have time to teach it even if they did know it. So patients get handballed on to a nutritionist or a diabetes educator whose university training was influenced once again by the pharmaceutical industry. Hospitals are obliged by so-called standards of care to follow the party line. You try getting a low-carbohydrate meal in a hospital, and your GP and your specialists are aware that coming out in favour of what I teach is likely to be rewarded with a reprimand at least, or fear of deregistration from the governing bodies of the medical associations. But there are doctors, and I'm proud to include myself among them in my own small way, and there are scientists, engineers, investigative journalists who have taken the trouble to find out about the science. And for years, these doctors and scientists have been reconciled to what amounts to a grassroots revolution. Fortunately, the cracks in the establishment are appearing. There is now a worldwide epidemic of obesity and diabetes, and people are becoming increasingly aware of the urgency of doing something about it. There's an increasing understanding that it's due to carbohydrate and sugar intolerance, where our bodies just aren't designed to cope with the amount of sugar that we're getting in our diet every day. Combine that with increasing gluten intolerance from the new forms of wheat and seed oils toxicity from the likes of canola oil and soy. Add in the damage to our own gut microbiome by manufactured food. And increasingly, we're getting, believe it or not, weed killer into our own systems, the likes of glyphosate, which is extremely damaging to our own gut microbiome. But there's nothing like the damage being done by these weed killers to the microbiome of our soil and indirectly to the microbiome of the ocean. And finally, the Industrial Revolution has one last major problem, and that is it's causing global warming. This is a perfect storm of nutritional problems. It may sound that I'm being a little bit over the top, but I'm beginning to think that it's actually threatening the survival of our species.